Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday, and then it is put online at WHLC.com. I get my second shot of COVID, well, later on, just a few hours after the airing of this show, and then on next Saturday, we'll have another COVID vaccination. What a great group, and you're part
of that. That's right. I am, and it's an honor to be there. But Tom Neal and his band of super volunteers are really being very proactive in making sure that everybody has access to the vaccine. You know, they've had successful vaccination clinics in Cashers. This coming Saturday, they'll have another vaccine clinic at our recreation department. I'm not going to go into the details because it's a challenging and complex process that they do. But Tom and his group are trying to get all the vaccine that they can acquire and get it into the arms of the people of Macon and Jackson County in this area. Like we all know now, we're in a critical time. The more people we can get vaccinated in the next couple of months quickly, the better off we are at curtailing all of these different mutant variations of the virus, and we can get on top of this. Along with, of course, not pulling the trigger of victory too quick, and continuing to do social distancing and wearing masks until, I'm hoping, sometimes toward the end of spring, going into summer, all of these restrictions will be lifted if we can get enough people vaccinated and follow those protocols.
And before we get to what happened in the Zoom meeting on the 11th about capital expenditures, et cetera, for the budget, Monday, if the weather cooperates, maybe the milling of Main Street, talk about that.
I know DOT's been planning on starting on the 15th of March, the milling and paving of Main Street. And I'm looking back all this past week, we had kind of dry, perfect weather, no rain. If we could just get them to change the date, speed it up, but we couldn't, it was fixed. And now, going into Monday, it looks like we'll have severe storms. And that's going to mess up the schedule. And that's the thing that I think the DOT has been worried about. And it might very well be the situation when they start this road work.
On the Zoom meeting this past 11th, was the, as you said, and your mayor on duty, the financial tone has been set for 21 and 22?
This is my 8th budget workshop. Without this experience of 8 years, I would really almost have a panic attack when I hear all of the things that we have to do. We prioritize and do what we must do now and start planning to address those other very critical needs. The annual report of where we are with the budget that Rebecca Schuler, our finance director, and Josh Ward, our town manager, gave indicates that we have had very strong revenues this year. Our property tax is really strong. Our sales tax is 4.5% more than it was the previous year. And that's coupled with the fact that we had that severe downturn when the pandemic came and we were worried about these revenues. Now we are looking at the projections and they're very strong. Let me add one thing. That is not just Highlands. I was also noticing that similar increases in sales tax has occurred in Buncombe County and Asheville. We have a strong financial position. We have reserve funds that have been going up. And I like to say, when we see those kind of reserves in projected income, I think we can become more aggressive in addressing some of the critical needs. You know, I know people always talking about, oh, there's a lot of fat in the town budget or government and wasteful spending. And I hear that. But on the other hand, I was looking at some of the items that we have to fund. They're not really just kind of discretionary items. They're things that we need to address sooner than later.
Yeah, like that pre-clarifying tanks. We've been using that since 1965. You mentioned that one. That's old.
That gave me heartburn.
Dog Mountain Project, Moorhead.
We've had a pre-clarifier tank at our water department, and it's really been there since 1965, and that's about the time that plant was actually built and came online. And it's very similar to what we dealt with the Buckhorn water tank several years ago. We had to start making plans, and about 2 or 3 years later, we were able to fund $1.2 million to completely replace that tank and increase the capacity for that part of the town. So those are the kind of things that we look at. And with this clarifier tank, Lamar Nix, our town engineer and public works director, is saying, you know, we can't do too many more repairs on this tank. it needs to be replaced, and we're talking about maybe $2 million. Now, do we do that this year or next year? But we have to do it pretty soon. He was also bring us the news, the Dog Mountain project, where we need to replace the water line of a mid-level pump station and then the water tank up on Dog Mountain, almost $2 million. And then Moorwood, which is a water line that's 2 inches, we need to replace with 6-inch ductile iron water line, about $750,000. And then there are more. One of the things that we have done, and Lamar was saying that we've been working with Withers Ravenel Engineering Company in anticipating possible grants from the federal government for infrastructure. So they have done all the pre-engineering design documents for these projects with cost estimates and so forth. If we see any type of federal grants that would address water infrastructure issues and things like this, here they are, federal government. We're first in line. These are pressing needs. Please consider funding these projects. So we're in a position to try to address this through grants. I don't know what's going to happen. I know I was on Sunday morning listening to one of the talk shows, and Senator Joe Manchin was on talking about and kind of alluding to there could be infrastructure funds embedded in this $1.9 trillion COVID relief package that was signed by the president this past week. If we have a chance to get some grant money, we'll be ready to do that. And once we do that, Steve, then we just move on to the next big ticket items, which would be road paving for this year, Spring Street, Sherwood Forest. And then we're looking at the idea of paving things like Upper Lake, Lower Lake, some of our unpaved roads. And it was very interesting. Lamar Nix was saying that we have used a lot of gravel this year from the town yard. And he said the reason is all these unpaved roads wash out. We go out and put gravel down. And then a week or two later, we're back to putting more gravel down, because the rains have been so heavy, those roads just wash out. And it creates a sedimentation problem for the entire community. And the ultimate solution for addressing those sedimentation problems would be to try to pave as many of these unpaved roads as possible.
And then all I have to say really is one word: trash. Then you talked about trash and about overtime issues. Should we get out of the trash business?
We did. We had a trash talking session that went on for a while. We've been having shortfalls in the sanitation garbage collection budget now for a number of years. Rebecca Schuler, our financial director, took all of that information and started projecting out into the next 10 years. And if we don't do something, we'll see constant rate increases in garbage collection and so forth. And I know the newspapers were even talking about, our finance committee had already been talking about increasing the rates for garbage. That was a recommendation that the finance committee would consider making to the entire board. On the other hand, we started looking at where the costs are. A huge amount of our cost is in overtime on weekends picking up commercial trash, and in fact, certain generators of a lot of trash. So we've been having like $46,000 in overtime. There's a couple of problems with that. One is we were bringing in people in the town crews that are on the high end of the pay scale, and then we were paying them time and a half. Also, we were doing things like picking up cardboard on the weekends and so forth. Lamar Nix, our public works director, did a review of that. We think that we've addressed some of the issues of overtime and how to reduce that. And hopefully that will make a difference. But we had a broader conversation, because even with the rates we have, Steve, we're still having to buy things like $250,000 garbage truck every few years, because we're running these trucks, they wear out, we have to get another one. Those depreciation issues aren't really covered in the fees that we're charging, and we have to go into our enterprise reserve funds from the electric utilities and other areas to make those purchases. And we had a conversation, and the conversation was this, and I know for some of our employees, possibly painful, it's just what we had to talk about, and that is, should we continue to stay in the town garbage business, or should we do like many other cities have done, turn that over to a private company, a private provider of garbage, give them a franchise? I think the feeling of the board was, let's not make any rash decision, because if we were to get out of the garbage business, it means we will not come back. We would be out completely.
It doesn't even cover the garbage getting unloaded, as we covered before we started the recording, the Rich Gap and then on to Franklin. That's a lot of money.
Yep. People just don't understand the complexity. We bring stuff up on the plateau. When our sanitation workers collect commercial garbage, they have to take it to the Rich Gap transfer station. And by the way, we've contributed, I think, about $250,000 about a decade ago to build that station in concert and partnership with the county. They have to transport the commercial trash to the Rich Gap station. They then charge us a tipping fee to dispose of that. The good news, they do not charge a tipping fee for residential garbage, but most of our volume comes from commercial, not residential. What happens is our garbage truck pulls into a covered area, and there's a bay below the platform where there's this huge open tractor trailer rig, and they dump all the garbage there, along with other people coming to Rich Gap, construction waste and so forth. And then a county driver pulls out, goes all the way down to Franklin to the landfill. And they don't just do one truck a day. They might make two, three, or during the season, even more trips, taking the garbage off the mountain all the way down to our landfill. You were asking before the meeting, well, do they take it to Oconee County in South Carolina or down to Georgia, Jessup, Georgia? No, they don't. We actually have a very good sanitary landfill that has just been expanded by the county. And the county solid waste department estimates that they have about another 50 years of functionality with that landfill. I'd have to give a shout out to our county commissioners for thinking ahead and having a functional and a sanitary landfill. And that's where all your garbage goes.
Ordinances, subdivision, building of homes. You talked about that in length. And then the state has come up with their own ordinance on subdivision. What? Cover that.
It's a complicated thing. And I know people are frustrated about a lot of the building that's going on in town. There are people that are building houses in residential areas. I was out running this week, and I was kind of astounded at some of the surveyor flags where people want to build houses. A lot of them, to me, look like they're in the floodplain. People are building houses, and we have requirements for them to follow on pervious surface, setbacks, all the things for building a house. They do not have to go before the town board to get permission. If they can meet that with our planning department and we verify that they're following those requirements, they are given a permit, then they go to the county for their building permit and they build their house. Now, with the subdivision, I know there's a proposed subdivision that we'll be looking at as the town board, the preliminary plat, at the next board meeting on Thursday night. It's on 5th Street. I understand that people don't like building, but if the people that want to develop it as the property owners can meet the requirements, the setbacks, the number of houses that are allowed on that space, when we have, you know, requirements for that, if they can meet all of the requirements, then they will get a clearance to build that subdivision. And you were talking about the state issue that we're facing, and in April at our next meeting, Michael Mathis, our assistant planner, will be bringing in changes that are being driven by the new state 60D statute. The state legislature has passed some requirements about how you approve subdivisions and how you do your land use and development. And they have told us, and this is about 2 years ago, start changing your ordinances to conform with our state statutes. And we will be doing that. And to be quite frank, some people might be surprised at what we're going to have to do. It is the state legislature who has said all towns will follow these prescribed procedures on land use, zoning, and development. I'm not going to get into the details of that because it's pretty complicated. That's our situation. The other thing that I was noticing in the newspaper, people talking about, well, we need to be notified about something's going to be developed. You know, and I've talked about being on our sunshine list, but there's certain things like a subdivision. There's not a requirement to provide notification other than what we're doing. That will be the Performing Arts Center at the Zoning Board of Adjustment asked for a variance of the setback in one particular area. They were granted that by the Zoning Board of Adjustment. They asked for a conditional zoning request, which was reviewed by the Planning Board. Now it will be coming before the Town Board. And at this next meeting on Thursday, we will be having a request to set a hearing for that conditional zoning request. And that will be held at our April meeting. The funny thing about this, they are a performing arts center. They've always had that conditional use as an art center in that area. They're simply expanding their footprint and operation. The Zoning Board of Adjustment approved a setback variance for the PAC Center with their new building. At this point now, that setback variance will have to come before the Town Board before it's finally approved. What we will be doing at the March meeting coming up on Thursday night is simply calling for a public hearing considering this conditional zoning request, which will be heard in April. So it's a two-part process. First of all, we have to set a public hearing, and then we will hear any concerns at the April meeting. And then the board will make a final decision about that conditional zoning request.
And those who have not been able to get those, that's the 18th and sometime in April that you'll be able to listen to it and then understand what's going on.
There you go.